I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is October 10, 2010. The website is theskepticarena.com. A pro-Obama article was written by Frank Schaefer. Schaefer's article gave a long list of points or claims that argued for a positive view of Obama's first 2 years in office. If you are interested, you can read this article by downloading the Word document associated with this podcast at theskepticarena.com/archives and select show number 123. However, I am not going to discuss Schaefer's article. This show is not about politics. It is about the development of critical thinking skills. What I am going to discuss is an email I received that responded to Schaefer's article, written by someone who is obviously anti-Obama. This show will not take sides regarding President Obama, but the email response to Schaefer's article was a perfect example of irrational thinking and provides great training for all critical thinkers. The email begins. Many, many bad things have been said about all our presidents at one time or another. Great start, dude. So far, we are in total agreement. He continues, the incoming president always inherits the country as it is. I have a few questions about Schaefer's comments, which seem to be made without support, meaning his descriptions of Obama are assuming he is right. Dude, now your grip on rationality is starting to loosen. Why would anyone give descriptions of someone unless they were assuming they were right? I've never heard anyone present arguments and at the same time assume they were wrong. And why would giving descriptions based on the assumption that those descriptions were right seem to indicate that they were made without support? Which ones were made without support? How do you know they were made without support? His email continues, believe me when I say, I made my opinions of Clinton, Bush, and Obama long before they became presidents. Oh, I believe you, dude. That was a perfect description of how the irrational mind works. Irrationals form their opinions long before most of the data are in. Then they defend those opinions against all evidence to the contrary, no matter how strong that evidence may be. He said, after seeing them in action, my opinions, I found, were true and supported by the facts of their efforts. Dude, that proves my last statement. When irrationals form opinions, all future evidence will be discarded if it is contrary to their beliefs, and accepted gladly if it supports their opinion, no matter how weak that supporting evidence may be. It is safe to say that all your opinions are always found to be true and supported by the facts. When your opinions are never changed by new information, that is how you know that your mind is closed shut. He said, of course my opinions are formed not from first-hand experience, but from what the media allows us to see and or read. Dude, that is true for nearly all of us. That is why the development of critical thinking skills is so important. They are the key to protecting us against the lies that the media constantly bombards us with. His email continues, when Obama's date of birth became a question, I took notice. Dude, that is exactly my point. His date of birth became an issue after he took office. As you admitted, your opinion had already been formed. Now, by your own admission, evidence that comes into your mind which conforms with your presuppositions gets noticed. He said, when his place of birth became a question, I continued to watch. Dude, did it ever dawn on you that he never could have ran for president if this were true? Guess not. With 50 million Republicans searching desperately for something to keep him from becoming president, and hundreds of thousands of them being lawyers, how is it possible not one person noticed this and forced him out of the race? And if true, how could he still be holding office? He couldn't. You have to be utterly devoid of all common sense to subscribe to this theory. The only kind of wingnuts who are gullible enough to fall for something this weak are the morons who are also Holocaust deniers, climate change deniers, and people who have been anally probed by aliens. I'm sure you are included in at least one of those three groups. He continues, when his choices of past friends, such as Reverend Wright, hit the news, I was still watching. Dude, I notice you are very perceptive and watching when the news conforms to your beliefs. I also notice that you don't seem very watching when things don't make him look bad. I guess that is your idea of being objective. Did you happen to notice any of his other choices for friends? Apparently not. He continues, when I heard the First Lady say on national TV, now I have a reason to love America, meaning after her husband and family moved into the White House, I listened. Dude, I too found her remark offensive, but what has the First Lady got to do with anything? He continues, when the now President Obama was seen on national TV not placing his hand over his heart during the national anthem, I watched. Dude, when your mind is set in stone, as yours obviously is, you only watch and notice when he does things you can criticize. You are virtually blind the rest of the time, as this email proves every time you start a new sentence. He said, when Obama said our national anthem should be rewritten so as not to insult anyone, I listened. Dude, let me get this straight. You actually believe it is okay for our national anthem to insult people? So according to your moral code, if the word nigger were in the anthem, it would be left in there? He said, when Obama's aunt was found on the streets and in this country illegally, I listened. When Obama said he didn't realize his aunt was homeless, I listened. Dude, you do a lot of listening, but almost no thinking. Try forming a thought once in a while. You might find that it won't hurt your head half as much as you think it will, at least not once you get used to it. He said, I could go on and on about all of our past presidents, as I have about our current one. Dude, from what I have read, I would rather be spared the torture of listening to any more ranting from a mind that forms opinions and then locks itself shut. If you are going to go through life like that, why even have a brain? Why not just donate it to someone who could actually put it to use? You obviously have no use for it. He said, I do not believe that the actions or comments I have seen and heard from the Obamas has anything to do with the outgoing president, Bush. Dude, you lost me. What does that mean? He said, it is my opinion that when anyone says or does something, they are responsible for it and not someone else. To blame someone else for one's own actions is just not acceptable. Dude, so why didn't you give even one example of Obama doing that? Probably because he hasn't been blaming Bush for the two wars and the depression that all began during Bush's term. Perhaps you can point us to some video or other evidence where Obama has done this. I didn't think so. He continues, when I arrested a bad guy for drugs and they said my friend gave them to me, I listened while I took him to jail. Many, many people I have put in jail claim to be innocent of the crime or the crime that was the fault of someone else. When anyone is not a truth speaker, then what are they? Clinton was impeached for lying before a grand jury, remember? Dude, it's funny how you Republicans can recall a Democrat who was unsuccessfully impeached a decade ago, but oddly forgot to mention the Republican president who left office in disgrace to avoid impeachment in the 70s. But to be fair, many Democrats would do the same thing to a Republican. Like I said, irrationals only remember and notice what they want to remember and notice. Everything else gets conveniently forgotten. You irrationals are so predictable. But then, how hard is it to read the minds of little children? He continues, "Oh, before I forget, in the 25 years of being a policeman and making hundreds of arrests, I never put an innocent person in jail." Dude, arrogance is another hallmark trait of the irrational mind. You couldn't possibly know whether or not you jailed an innocent person unless you were as all-knowing as the invisible ghost you worship. He said, "As a detective, my success of winning a criminal case was in the 98th percentile." Dude, that is because cases do not proceed forward unless prosecutors know they have a strong case. All prosecutors and detectives have high winning percentages. He continues, "The cases I did lose were not because the accused was innocent, but because of a loophole in court or the judge's opinion that the guy was guilty while there was insufficient evidence to indict." Dude, or what is also likely, though you would never admit it, that you were wrong. As death row has proven over 100 times, DNA shows that cops like you aren't half as bright as they think they are. He continues, "Politics is a tough subject. If more people would form their opinions on facts instead of emotions, then we are headed in the right direction." Dude, how clueless do you have to be to lecture others about things that you yourself are guilty of? The irrational mind operates solely on emotion. Facts are anything you say are facts. Evidence which contradicts your presuppositions are instantly demoted and not considered facts. You wouldn't know a fact if it zinged you in the nuts. He concludes, "I can't believe Schaefer's comments that Obama will succeed and is headed in the right direction because of what Schaefer says of President Bush's administration. It just doesn't add up." Dude, it will never add up in your mind because you have already rigged the outcome in advance. Like a typical irrational, you fail to address a single issue raised by Schaefer. Instead, you resorted to an emotional, illogical series of personal attacks in lieu of the evidence that you do not possess. You begin this email by stating that you had a few questions about Schaefer's comments, yet those questions were never asked. Like all irrationals, you simply avoided any semblance of debate and wrote a screed against someone you have been convinced to dislike. The fact that people like you actually vote is scary. And now we move to the science segment. Physics breakthrough, fast-moving neutral atom isolated and captured. In a major physics breakthrough, University of Otago scientists in New Zealand have developed a technique to consistently isolate and capture a fast-moving neutral atom, and have also seen and photographed this atom for the first time. The entrapment of the rubidium-85 atom is the result of a 3-year research project funded by the Foundation for Research, Science, and Technology, and has already prompted worldwide interest in the new science, which will flow from the breakthrough. A team of 4 researchers from Otago's physics department, led by Dr. Mikkel Andersen, used laser cooling technology to dramatically slow a group of rubidium-85 atoms. A laser beam, or optical tweezers, was then deployed to isolate and hold one atom, at which point it could be photographed through a microscope. The researchers then proved they could reliably and consistently produce individual trapped atoms, a major step towards using the atoms to build the next generation ultra-fast quantum logic computers, which harness the potency of atoms to perform complex information processing tasks. Dr. Andersen says that unlike conventional silicon-based computers, which generally perform one task at a time, quantum computers have the potential to perform numerous long and difficult calculations simultaneously. They also have the potential to break secret codes that would usually prove too complex. He said, our method provides a way to deliver those atoms needed to build this type of computer, and it is now possible to get a set of 10 atoms held or trapped together at one time. You need a set of 30 atoms if you want to build a quantum computer that is capable of performing certain tasks better than existing computers. So this is a big step towards successfully doing that. It has been the dream of scientists for the past century to see into the quantum world and develop technology on the smallest scale, the atomic scale. What we have done moves the frontier of what scientists can do and gives us deterministic control of the smallest building blocks in our world. The results of the landmark study have been announced in the journal Nature. Dr. Anderson says that within 3 weeks of the first laboratory experiment successfully trapping the atom, new experiments previously not thought possible were underway. The next step is to try and generate a state of entanglement between the atoms, a kind of atomic romance which lasts the distance. Anderson said, we need to generate communication between the atoms where they can feel each other. So when they are apart, they stay entangled and don't forget each other even from a distance. This is the property that a quantum computer uses to do tasks simultaneously. One atom is so tiny that 10 billion side by side would make a meter in length. Atoms usually move at the speed of sound, making them difficult to manipulate. Unlike ions, neutral atoms like the rubidium-85 atom are notoriously difficult to pin down because they cannot be held by electrical fields. In recent times, only two other types of neutral atom have been seen and photographed by scientists in the world, the rubidium-87 and the cesium-133 atom. Dr. Anderson says that for him personally, the breakthrough has been a major milestone. He said, I learned in elementary school that it is impossible to see a single atom through a microscope. Well, my elementary school teacher was wrong. And now we move to the religion segment. The Texas Board of Education votes to correct pro-Islamic bias in textbooks. The Texas State Board of Education approved a resolution today that requires publishers to correct a pro-Islamic, anti-Christian bias in future world history textbooks. My comment. The Evangelical Texas School Board strikes again by doing what they do best, ignoring truth and spreading lies. You have to be an imbecile to believe that in Christian America, the textbooks have an anti-Christian bias, or to believe they are pro-Islamic. This is simply another in a long list of attempts by the Christian far right to turn America into a theocracy, specifically a Christian theocracy. The resolution narrowly passed 7-6. My comment. That just happens to be the makeup of the school board. The ghost worshippers have just enough votes to pass all these crazy un-American rules. Last year they attacked evolution. Earlier this year, they rewrote history, and now they are attacking other faiths. If not for our secular laws, they would still be burning witches. The Texas School Board cites instances of an alleged emphasis on unfavorable events in Christian history, as told in school textbooks, while claiming that the same textbooks gloss over similar events in Islamic history. My comment, alleged is the operative word here. Unfavorable events in Christian history is a euphemism for crusades, inquisitions, witch burnings, heresy and blasphemy executions, slavery, and other unfavorable events. The reason similar Islamic events are glossed over is because they were not part of American history. The article continues, what we're trying to do here is prohibit and send a clear message to the publishers that the bias should not happen in the future, according to board member Terry Leo. My comment. Ah, Terry Leo, ghost worshiper extraordinaire. Now there's a real non-biased source. Regarding Islam, the bias she speaks of is not happening now. But after watching her and her ignorant cohorts rewrite American history earlier this year, it is obvious that she plans to ensure a positive Christian bias in all future textbooks. The article goes on. The Lone Star State has a reputation for dictating what publishers which must abide by state policy or probably forfeit significant sales can include in textbooks. Nevertheless, because all of the textbooks cited in the resolution have not been used in Texas schools since 2003, it is unclear what immediate effect the policy will have on publishers. Board member Mavis Knight told the Austin American-Statesman, "This is a cosmetic exercise." Kathy Miller, president of the Texas Freedom Network, a liberal organization opposed to the potential policy, said afterward that the resolution was politically motivated. My comment. I would disagree with Miller. I think it was religiously motivated. Miller said in a statement, "Board members rejected numerous opportunities today to pass a resolution that called on publishers to treat all religions with balance and accuracy in their textbooks. Evangelicals have no intention of treating all religions fairly, and there is the proof. They will continue to attack all non-Christians until everyone in America dresses in a Christian burqa." The article concludes, "It is hard not to conclude that the members who voted for this resolution were solely interested in playing on fear and bigotry in order to pit Christians against Muslims." My final comment. Absolutely true, and they do that because they are safely ensconced in the vast majority. In Muslim nations, they do the same thing to the Christians. Religion will continue to divide humanity into warring tribes, as it always has done, until humans free themselves of the threats from the spirit world. And for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Steven Weinberg, born 1933, he is 77 years old. Weinberg is an American physicist and Nobel laureate in physics for his contributions with Abdus Salam and Sheldon Glashow to the unification of the weak force and electromagnetic interaction between elementary particles. I have two quotes from Steven Weinberg. The first, "Though aware that there is nothing in the universe that suggests any purpose for humanity, one way that we can find a purpose is to study the universe by the methods of science, without consoling ourselves with fairy tales about its future or about our own." And the final quote from Steven Weinberg, "Religion is an insult to human dignity. With or without it, you would have good people doing good things and evil people doing evil things. But for good people to do evil things, that takes religion."
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.